I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
Monday. It's here. I hope you all had a great weekend. I spent my weekend doing what is deemed to be one of the most stressful things one can do. I think it's in the top three, if not at least the top five. Ready? Moving. Yes, I moved this weekend. And it came with every little complexity and intricacy that moving will throw at you. It was definitely an opportunity to practice centering and calming myself, trusting the process, as they say. Oh my gosh, I'm still landing. Just gonna throw it out there. Still landing. Oh, I'm telling you, moving brings up a lot because not only are you in a new location geographically, you have to find comfort in all your local spots, right? We get familiar and comfortable with where we get coffee, the supermarkets, all that changes. And also just your own living space, like just rearranging the energy and the flow. And my poor cat, I'm telling you, pets do not necessarily transition well. Cats anyway. Poor thing is still trying to figure out where she was. Woke me up last night crying. Yeah, she's sensitive. Just like her daddy. I was posting on my IG how I had a good public cry this weekend, you know? Oof, a lot came up. It's been a rough weekend. But we're here. We're here. We're going to get through together. Question of the night's up on our Loveline IG page. What's your opinion of personal grooming down there? We're going to break that on down later in the show. And of course, we'll be talking with Dr. Evan Goldstein about anal bleaching. Yeah, it's a thing. Don't knock it if you haven't heard about it yet. Ask around. We're going to be talking more about that. But right now, let's talk about some news. So this one, I love things that are trending. Oh my gosh. Ready for this one? I'm going to have to do a little verbal gymnastics to get this whole story out there with y'all. But based on a tweet, it uncovered sort of an, I don't know a word to use, not an underground movement, but a phenomenon that's not as uncommon as we like to believe. And it's basically wrapped up in a lot of homophobia and some toxic masculinity. And this one's a zinger. So basically, a woman was tweeting out how she's been married for 2 months and she came to realize that her husband doesn't wipe his butt. Now, why is that? Ready for this one? Because of homophobia. So she noticed that stains, smells, all sorts of things. And she finally, I mean, imagine having this conversation. She finally approaches him and says, listen, what's going on? And he says, a real man doesn't go in between his cheeks and doesn't put anything in there. That's right. He said, not to wipe, not to clean, nothing goes between them. Now, what do you say to that? I mean, you say a whole lot, but I mean, that is not a shocking phenomenon. A website was picking up a lot of the different tweets and comments and stories that are centered around this. Oof. Yes, we live in a time where some people think that being quote unquote a real man means that you don't touch the butt area in any capacity. Sit with that for a second. Leaving out hygiene. Whoa. I mean, we're so afraid of being seen or perceived as gay that even in the privacy of your own home, but just know that cleaning yourself does not change your sexual orientation. But again, we're there. I'm always tracking these things, right? I'm always tracking these things. This is the important work. Now, where do some of these things come from? Let's reflect back on a story that was really popular last year that I dug up out of the vault, because this is why we get how we get there. So there's a notorious internet pastor. He went as far as to say that a man shouldn't masturbate because that is equated with having sex with another man. Why? Because it's a man having sex with himself who's a man. So that is, in his mind, a man having sex with a man. And that goes against the Bible. Now, again, sit with that one for a second. I mean, well, yeah. I guess you can connect any dots you want to connect. So he said, and I quote, you're having sex with a man. You might be putting images of a woman in your mind, but you are having sex still with a man. What? Oh, you're killing me. He then added, because the RAN had to get a whole lot kookier, our public schools are rife with sexual deviancy, he said. Public schools are cesspools of sin and degenerate behavior, if not from the teacher, from the students themselves to each other. He says, get your kids out of public school. What's going on? He's a pastor. He's looking out for our well-being, y'all. It comes from a good place. Comes from a good place. All right, here's another zinger. Tonight's just a night of zingers. Ready for this one? 1/3 of Americans, that's a big number, believe you can get an STD from a toilet. That is a statement on our sex education. We've talked all the time about how flawed and problematic it is, all that it leaves out. Well, it's leaving out a lot more than I thought. I thought we knew this, but when we were earlier talking about this, when we were getting the show together, one of the other colleagues of ours themselves read that and said, I actually didn't know that myself. And I thought, wow, thank God we go there on Loveline. Thank God we talk about these things. But yes, you cannot get an STD from using a toilet. We need better education around STDs, how you can get them, what the symptoms are, and also the treatments. Because again, for those of you that are dating online, whether it's dating apps or sex apps, you're seeing these kinds of things coming up where people don't really understand the questions asked, what to look for, and they're using some problematic terminology and concepts. But this lack of knowledge has some serious consequences. Whoa. But coming up next, as a result of this one, our own Jeffrey is going to be taking the sexual health quiz with me. It's a little true or false, but we're going to test his knowledge of STDs. Just what I really want from that is for people to learn, right? And to realize what they don't know. Not going to be trying to shame Jeffrey, little baby Jeffrey. Question that's up on our Loveline IG page to weigh in on that. Phone lines are always open. 833-LOVE-001. 833-LOVE-001. Let me know about your own knowledge of all this stuff. Coming up, we're going to do an STD quiz. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. Whoa, that song wore me out. Man, that song gets you moving. Nicki Minaj, right?
Yeah.
Woof. All right. Question of the night's up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, what is your opinion on personal grooming? This is actually very loaded for me. I've had a few interesting relational conversations around this. Next time, when do we do couples therapy Thursdays? Okay, well, not this coming Thursday, but the one after. I want to ask Rebecca Sheeta about this one because I have, this is a loaded thing. I'll share more of my own thoughts about this when we break it on down later in the show. But so earlier in the show, we were talking about how 1/3 of Americans believed that you can get an STD from a toilet. No way. And it kind of led us to a further discussion around how, you know, again, not a lot of people really understand the true facts about STDs. So Loveline's constantly trying to bring this forward. So in service of learning more, I have a little sexual health quiz. It's true or false. And our own Jeffrey said that he would let me quiz him, kind of see. And I see you as someone who's aware, mm-hmm. but still an everyday person. Yes. So maybe a lot of people will be able to kind of relate to where you go with this one. Okay, so here we go. Sexual health questionnaire, true or false? Number one, you can tell if someone has an STD just by looking at them.
False.
Okay, yes. Although I have actually heard some people make some that maybe you can. You know? All right. I'm glad you know that you can't. Yes, there's no way to assess. Really? Okay. We'll get into what I was going to go in another time. Number two, wearing two condoms provides double the protection against STDs.
No, honey.
That's right.
Not.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
Wrap it before you tap it, but listen, like
put a hat on it.
Two, that's friction. They will rip.
Well said. Number three. If two people are both HIV positive, they don't need to use condoms or other barriers.
I am going to go with you should because just because you're both HIV positive doesn't mean that you're not transmitting other.
Correct.
Anything else?
Yes, absolutely. They're both positive, but you still want to think about other STDs and STIs.
Oh.
Absolutely. Well done, sir. So far, I'm impressed with your sex ed knowledge. Number four, you only need to be tested for STDs if you have symptoms.
No, you should be tested regularly because some symptoms will not pop up, honey. Come on.
Some people are asymptomatic and they will never show signs or symptoms ever, but can still transmit it to someone else. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And some people think with things like herpes that if you don't have a breakout, you can transmit it. And that's also not correct,
mm-hmm.
that you still can transmit it. All right. Number five, herpes is, I just gave this one away. Herpes is the name of an STD.
Yes.
I love that. All right. Number six, condoms will protect against all STDs.
No.
Correct. Condoms only protect from the ones that are genital. Within. That's right. Yeah. But the crotch area and all around, fingers, our throats, we can get STDs that we usually associate just with our genitals in our throats. Mm-hmm. You can get gonorrhea in your throat.
Yeah, I heard
yes,
about
you
this
can get system. Herpes on your hands. Yes.
That's a new one. I didn't know that.
Yes, you can. Number 7, you cannot get an STD from a public toilet seat.
That's true.
You will not get an STD from a public toilet seat.
And if you didn't know that, we actually were talking about it in the last segment.
That's right. But what you do have to worry about are those men that don't wipe.
Oh, my God. No. Or
that's
don't.
That's a triple bell.
Wash their hands.
That's right. We're dropping all the sex gems in that. All right. Number 8. We've only got 3 left. You're killing it. Number 8. Oil-based lube is safe to use with latex condoms.
I am going to go with false.
Correct. You're killing it. Condoms, latex condoms require water-based lube, as do most sex toys, because the oil will eat away at the condom and also the sex toy.
Mm.
Yes. Mm. And sex toys should also be kept separately, as some of their components, when placed together, will erode and discolor the materials as well. And also make sure to clean them after each use and after each partner and also after each hole. Yeah. All right. 2 left. Let's see if you can get a perfect score. I'm proud of you so far. Symptoms of an STD will show up immediately after becoming infected.
False.
Correct. There's a window period. Some of them take even years. And like I said earlier, some people are asymptomatic and you will never show symptoms, but you can still transmit it to a partner. All right, finally, there's your perfect score. Don't mess it up now.
Don't mess it up now.
It's been such a beautiful journey. Don't let our listeners down now or your entire educational system.
Now.
Finally, you cannot get an STD. Oh, wow. Okay. You cannot get an STD from incidental physical contact. And that would mean touching someone's hand, shaking someone's hand, something like that. You cannot get it from that.
Like just touching? Like what?
Incidental would be kind of like very vague, like casual.
Like gracing someone's hand?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you were just saying how you can have like STDs of the hand or like.
Yes.
So
I just had a client coming in who had diagnosed with herpes on their hands. You can have. Yes.
So then I'm going to go with you can.
Well, you don't have to. It actually goes back to the same thing of the toilet seat. You don't have to worry about it being passed from like someone's butt cheek to like your hand.
Mm. Okay.
So.
Darn.
You were so close. 9 out of 10 is not bad, though.
That's still an A.
That's still an A plus. Now, I would give you extra credit, but I was not prepared, so I don't have an extra credit question. MEQ, do you have any extra credit question? Anything you think of STI? She's like, I'm not ready for this either. Who knew, right? Make it anything. It could be anything extra credit. Like, what's the difference between an STD and an STI? Which one do we now use?
What? Yeah, use that question. What's the difference between an STD and an STI?
One is a disease and one is an infection.
Correct. And now we're trying to transition into the word STI to cover all. Yeah. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
I hope our listeners learned a lot out of that one. Coming up next, we're going to talk about some sexualities you might not have heard of or actually understood. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. It's got a little STD quiz going. I'm still really proud of Jeffrey. Almost got a perfect score. Whew, man. But you know, there's another human lesson in your imperfect perfect score is that it's not about perfection, right? You got to learn a little bit. Yeah? Okay.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. I want to just give you some peace there. All right. Question tonight's up on our Love on IG page. Tonight's question is about your thoughts on personal grooming. I have a lot of powerful thoughts on this one, actually. They're not necessarily all very rational, but I have a lot of emotion behind this. I'll tell you why later. And we talk with Dr. Evan Goldstein about anal bleaching. Look, some people are like, what? Why? It's like, yeah, that's a real thing. And it's something to talk about. We go there. but right now, let's talk about some sexualities you might not understand. Why? Here's why. Having a label helps you feel part of, helps you feel legitimate, and it also helps people better understand themselves. So we talk about these different things because I want people to feel healthy. I want people to feel legitimate in whatever it is that arouses them and turns them on. And remember, you know, we talk about sexual orientation, but we usually tie it to gender and we assume it's just about the gender choice of our partners. But sexuality in terms of orientation is about anything that drives your desires. And for some people, it very much sits outside of gender choice. It's really based on other factors. So let's talk about some of the ones that are less known. They've made some documentaries about some of these things. First one is autosexual. And if you kind of break down the word, it kind of explains what it is. It's basically someone who isn't as aroused or desirous of others. They're most turned on by themselves and their own touch. Sit with that. They might want to look at themselves. They might want to be with themselves. They might want to just think with themselves. They want to feel themselves. But the presence or touch of another person might distract them, turn them off, pull them out of themselves. Now, remember, whenever we're talking about sexual orientations or sexualities, we tend to break it down into primary or secondary. And what that basically just means is if someone has a primary orientation of dot, 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 that's going to be the most driving force and pretty much maybe the only thing that really turns them on or turns them off. And that's pretty rare. Most people, we are far more sexually fluid than we realize, and there's a wealth of things that turn us on. Secondary is kind of what that means, is that there's a multiplicity of things, and that's good because there's some people that are into things that are really dangerous or painful or illegal. And if it's the primary thing, that's going to be very difficult for them because that's what's really driving them. Secondary would mean, yeah, that arousal's there, but there's other things that turn me on as well. And thank goodness for that. So if someone who might be autosexual, it's going to be hard pressed to find someone where that is literally the totality of their sexuality, where it's literally just them and themselves. And again, autosexual is about being turned on by yourself, not to be confused with solo sexual, which is pretty similar, but that's someone who's more geared towards masturbation, where they don't necessarily have an interest in engaging another person at all, right? And I talk about that a little bit with people that misuse the word, like, you know, porn addict or masturbation addict. These people might be more solo sexual, where they have introversion, they have intimacy issues, avoidance. It could be from some kind of trauma, or it's just how they're wired. And what turns them on best is just masturbation with their thoughts, with their fantasies. But it's not about themselves. It's just that they're not necessarily turned on by engaging a partner. Where autosexual is they're turned on by themselves. So they're thinking about themselves, feeling themselves. Where a solo sexual, it's not about themselves. They're in fantasy, thinking about other people or watching porn, but they're just necessarily not geared towards sex with partners. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. Can be a little confusing. And then, of course, there's the good old asexual, which we've talked about and I think is a little more known in the culture. And that's someone who is interested in romance and relationality, but sex drive and sexuality isn't necessarily present for them. They do have sex and they might masturbate, and that might be for self-care. It might be for biological reasons, just the impulse to get rid of some pressure, or they'll have sex maybe because it's important to their partner, but it's not necessarily something that they have a strong drive or desire for, if even at all. Then we also talk about fetish sexuals, which are people that their sexuality is geared towards these more colorful, creative things. It's not going to just be about the gender choice of a person and another person is arousing to them, but they like to fold in these other factors. They might be more geared towards some BDSM, or they might be more geared towards P. And it's these other factors' presence that's more powerful than the person. And then finally, they made a documentary about this. It was actually quite fascinating. Objectum sexuals. Those are people that are aroused by objects. These are some of the people that have sex with like a merry-go-round. There's even a documentary where people are marrying things like the Eiffel Tower. Someone legit married the Eiffel Tower. It's a fascinating world. Our sexuality and eroticism can be literally directed at anything and everything. That's why when I find these pages where they're trying to make a list of all the different names of all the things you're being turned on by, it's like, good luck. Because literally, we can be turned on by everything and anything. And so that list is just not even needed. You can't catalog the entire world. They're trying, though. Coming up next, we'll be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Guess what, y'all? We got our 1-year anniversary coming up. That's right, Channel Q. We've been going strong for a year. Also, National Coming Out Day, they coincide. We are having a little giveaway. We're going to fly you and a friend out here to LA, where Channel Q has found itself and the fertile ground of which it was born. We're going to give you a whole weekend here. We're going to take you out in West Hollywood, take you to the WeHo, to Abbey. We're going to see Michaela and Jay there. Maybe I'll swing by, have a drink with you. We're going to put you up in a hotel and two tickets to LA's biggest event of the year, the Weekend Survive concert at the Hollywood Bowl, the iconic Hollywood Bowl. Taylor Swift's there, Lizzo, Jonas Brothers. My God, this is actually probably one of the best giveaways we've ever done. All you got to do is go to wearechannelq.com to enter and win. More details there. Bam, that's a powerhouse giveaway. Guess what, y'all? Time to slide into the DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sex world. We want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, guys. So I was listening to another podcast. Oh, my gosh. I love anything that intros that way. Sorry to hear that. Sorry we're not enough. Why can't you just listen to Loveline? You got a lot to catch up on. So I was listening to another podcast where two straight women who were both married to men opened up about how when they were younger they had attractions to women, but they never felt they could explore it because they were raised religious. And now that they're married, they feel they closed the door on that part of themselves. I really resonate because although I'm in a healthy 2-year relationship with a man that I want to marry, I did a little experimenting with women at one point, and I'm wondering how to approach this. Because on one hand, I'm 100% satisfied and happy with my partner, but I also do sometimes feel like I missed out sexually by not trying it out. Is this something that's important to bring up to my partner in order to be my authentic self sexually, or should I just give it up and keep watching my lesbian porn? So many things in here. A few things. You know, every relationship is going to require some kind of loss, right? You know, to be with someone is to pass out on a multitude of other things, living in certain places, certain experiences because of who they are and what their limits are. And so I just want to point that out, that we often will zero in on the sexual piece, that if we're in a monogamous relationship or we haven't explored in other ways, that we're missing out on something, and you both are and you both aren't, right? Because any relationship you're in, there's going to be inherent limits. So you kind of ask a few questions all rolled up into one. So is it important to bring it up is one thing you brought up. And then you kind of implied, you know, should I just keep watching my lesbian porn as in, should I try to find a way to engage this other than my porn, right? So I think there's two pieces, just being known and then also maybe trying to find a way to engage it. And again, it's kind of a vague answer I'm going to give you. Excuse me. We're going to all miss out on having experienced some sexual things. There are some people that dedicate their lives to full sexual exploration and they're in completely open relationships. They don't want any sexual limits and that works for them. That's not the most typical relational style. And so, yeah, to be with someone, you're going to have to take into account how some of your interests impact them. So as far as bringing it up, there should never be anything wrong with that. So I think it should be appropriate for you to say to your husband, hey, you want to learn more about me sexually and as an individual? Yeah, I've experimented with women in the past. It can be a conversation piece. Moving forward into your desire to maybe engage in it now as an adult versus just in porn, it's also something to talk about. There's some relationships where your partner might say, great, go do it. Some people might say, I'd love to be there to watch that and to be a part of that and to witness that with you. And that might also make them feel safer. Other people might say, yeah, that makes me really uncomfortable. And you have to really weigh out what benefits you would get from having those experiences versus what you'd gain or lose by being with the person you're with. It's a difficult thing, though. But I would definitely bring it up as a topic. And if it's something you want to request and see if there's a way to have it happen in your life, that's cool, too. But you're not necessarily missing out on something. But yeah, there are parts of our world that we can engage in once we're in certain kinds of relationships. But hey, circle back. Let us know how that goes. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sex world. We want you to explore with confidence. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and Radio Doc.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Now, tonight we're talking to Wesley Woods. You are a multiple-time porn performer winner. How many awards have you won at this point?
Oh, God, who keeps count?
Okay. You're like, who keeps count? Seven.
Who keeps count? I performer of the year 3 times, best actor 3 times, and a couple of others.
All right, so you're the real deal. Clearly the real deal. A lot of our listeners are really good at my job. You are good at your job. As your parents said, if you're going to be a porn performer, be the best porn performer.
Exactly.
So one of our themes tonight is around, it's twofold. It's around personal grooming, but it's also around the impact of pornography. So let's just kind of start there. You know, a lot of people, the only exposure they have to sex or naked bodies is often in porn. And so it kind of lays a foundation as to what people expect to have happen sexually or what kind of bodies they expect to encounter. And we've all talked about this ongoing, that that's an unfortunate pressure to put on porn. Porn is like any other form of media. It's a form of entertainment. It's a form of art, but somehow it has a lot of pressure to be very sex educative because we don't have that anywhere else. So can you talk to us a little bit about what are the things that we don't get to see that we maybe buy into when we watch porn?
Oh, good question, Dr. Chris.
Thank you.
I think porn, you know, porn, I don't think, porn is a production of sex. So really, I mean, all of it is pretty I mean, pretty made up. I mean, even to the point where if I am, say, in a position and you can see the bottom of my feet, like typically if you're walking in a warehouse barefoot, you're going to have nasty feet, but somehow mine are spotless. And that's because someone comes over and they like clean your feet for you.
Wow.
Or have to constantly like take cuts because someone can't keep an erection. Or, you know, in gay sex, anal is how you do a penetrative move. And, you know, sometimes stuff happens there too. So, I mean,
on set, what do they do typically to maintain an erection for whatever the length of the shoot is?
I mean, it really varies. You have to, that's what you have to kind of like figure out as a performer, like what works for you. You know, like for me, I got really good at like knowing where I had to go in my mind. You know, there's also some forms of like Viagra that people will take, or Cialis, or there's also Trimex, which is an injectable that people will, you know, inject into their penis. And a lot of people don't even know that exists. And that's why some of them can maintain an erection, you know, nonstop throughout a scene, is because they've injected their penis.
And of course, you're not going to show that in a scene, but it's unfortunate because I can't tell you how many men a week reach out or come into my practice struggling with this idea that I'm supposed to get erect the minute I'm with someone I'm attracted to, and then I'm supposed to stay erect for the duration of the time we're sexual. And I say to them, where did you get that idea? And either we have to uncover that it was porn, or they openly just say that. And I say to them, let's talk about what actually happens behind the scenes that allows these performers to get and stay erect for as long as they do. Because some of them are just built that way, and that's why they're successful in the industry, right? And then others, they're taking pills or shots. But we don't get to see that. Yeah.
Right. Well, and you know, like one of the things I think is really crazy, like in specific with my own sexuality, is I don't always orgasm. And that's not like a sign of completion for me. Like when sex is done, like I don't need that to have had my box checked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And porn, like you have to have it. It's literally called the money shot. Like without it, you're not getting paid.
I'm glad you bring that in because I think that that's important. I wish people had the ability to be confident and vulnerable and say, hey, you know, for me, this is the way my body functions, or the opposite. Hey, I'm not used to someone who doesn't necessarily orgasm, and I'm used to that being the completive factor. But again, if we're talking about, let's say, a heterosexual couple, there's a lot of confusion around that because, again, there's not a lot of transparency and vulnerability. And when you're talking to someone who has anatomy that's very different from yours, there's a lot of confusion. And I'll kind of explain that to some people where, you know, the goal of sex shouldn't always be penetration and or orgasm. It's okay to end without one of those two things because, again, the goal of sex is what? Fun. Pleasure. Like,
yeah, you
want to
have fun. You want to feel good. Right. Exactly.
All right, Wesley Woods, where can people find you?
Please go stalk me online. All my social media accounts are the Wesley Woods.
I'm always so jealous of people who have like the same name on all their social media accounts. Each of mine is a little different. I got too late in the game with that.
I got lucky.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Wes. Coming up next, we got our doctor segment with Dr. Evan Goldstein, and we're going to be talking about anal bleaching. Yep, keeping the theme of grooming going. And then also our question of the night's related to grooming. So go on our Loveline IG page and weigh in on that. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And now it's time to sit down with Dr. Evan Goldstein, CEO and founder of Bespoke Surgical. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm good. So when we were talking about tonight's topic, it's probably one of the ones that brought up the most conversation thus far. I mean, again, everything you discuss with us is highly powerful, but this one was really fascinating because it just brings up a lot of general conversation. So when me and you were just talking off air about tonight's topic, anal bleaching, you asked me if we were going to do mine. And it's something that came up a long time ago because I dated someone who was in the adult film industry. And in that industry, there's a lot of focus on anuses.
Right.
So it started the conversation. So just kind of give us a background. What brings people in to want to discuss the possibility of anal bleaching? Let's start there.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I think that there's a three-prong approach when you're talking about bleaching. But taking a step back, the psyche of some individuals, just the kind of self-confidence that's lacking, can be built from an anal bleaching technique. People come in, you know, it's where the sun doesn't shine, right?
Right.
So in that, you know, a lot of people are really into shaving their, you know, region from a hair perspective. And when you're doing that, you get to expose some of the blemishes or some of the irregularities. And when they're doing selfies and kind of showing themselves what's going on, they're able to see that there is some element of discoloration.
Okay.
And the question is, how do you go about to kind of blend everything to make things more appetizing, to make things more pleasing? And then also, I think, to really build one's own self-confidence, which is to say, hey, this is a sexual organ for me. How am I going to flaunt it and use it in the right capacity?
And it's interesting. I like that you're saying this is a sexual organ for me, because I don't know if I was talking to you about this or if I was talking about this on air, but I was sharing how myself and other people in my practice have gone to the doctor. And when they were there for various reasons that had some kind of focus on the anal area, them and my own doctor said, well, luckily that's an area that no one really utilizes or sees. And it was like,
right,
record scratch. It's like, really?
Exactly.
Boo? You're making a lot of assumptions.
That, and I see that all the time.
Right.
And I think the reality is that we should be talking about this. Yes, it's being used in many different capacities, as is so many different areas to our body. And the reality is that there are simple techniques that can be done to allow people to get to where they want, ideally.
Okay.
And with that, I think it'll segue into really the three main ways that people bleach are lasering, chemical peels, or these fading creams. And I think the best way is actually to do a combination of all three.
Okay, because right now, when I hear the word bleach and I hear the word laser, I think immediately of pain. So what kind of pain level are we talking?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really just depends on the severity of where you want to go and where we're starting with.
I want all in. I want all in, doctor.
All in. All in. I think the reality is that nowadays, with the newer lasers and also numbing creams, and potentially taking like an Advil or a Motrin or something beforehand, that you're able to minimize a lot of discomfort that's there. But it is a stinging sensation in your butt, right? I mean, and at the end of the day, you're doing it from a beauty perspective. So there has to be some element of no pain, no gain, right? But obviously, when you look at lasering and then you look at bleaching techniques, specifically with chemical peels, and then you're looking at fading creams, the fading creams are the least toxic to the area or the least pain-causing. Mm. And then as you're going further along, it depends on the severity. But again, have you ever had your teeth whitened?
Yes.
And so after a couple of times of doing that, don't you feel it gets a little bit raw, you feel a little bit sensitive,
yes,
in the area.
Yes.
But some people tolerate two sessions of that, some people tolerate three. It just really kind of depends on where you want to go.
Okay, and what are your thoughts? Because this was also something, so I think it was about 2 years ago, I had a friend of mine who both went to a anal bleaching, I guess, boutique, you know, kind of center, and he also purchased something from online. Do you recommend people doing it at home themselves, or do you recommend them going to a professional?
I think the first time I would go to a professional.
Okay.
Because I really think that when you look at estheticians that are really doing this, they see so many different skin types and so many variables that they're able to really create an appropriate plan. I am all for doing it yourself at home, specifically because it's much cheaper and it's a lot easier. But I think the first is to see somebody, understand what really is the gold standard, mm-hmm, and then start the process with somebody. And you could talk to them, tell them, hey, you know what, I want to learn how to do this at home, and they'll walk you through the steps to make sure that you're doing things effectively. We see a ton of complications when people do it, you know, by themselves at home. There's so much chemical burns that can happen. There's also this complete depigmentation, and it becomes really, really blotchy. You know, the key is to have a really, really nice fade from the actual butt cheeks themselves, yeah, all the way into the anal region and the actual hole. And that takes time for people to understand. And the reality is that if you want long-lasting effects, then doing all three or some combination of the three allows that to happen. The fading creams take forever, and the results are super slow. Those are more of like, how do I add that in concert with everything else that I've done to make the actual aesthetic last longer?
Yeah, and going back to the other point you made a minute ago, I can imagine if someone isn't doing it with a professional that they could make it actually look worse by, like you said, making it kind of blotchy and not fading.
Yeah, 100%. And I think also, you know, those real chemical burns, some people feel like because you're putting a chemical that you should have this burning technique, you know, this burning aspect occur. And the reality, I mean, I get texts with people's, you know, images all the time of, hey, did I do this right? And you start to see tremendous amount of peeling in the wrong way.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think the key is seeing somebody that can give guidance. And then, like you said before, you know, talking to people about sexual desires, sexual needs, and where you want to go from a bleaching perspective. And then one actually first figuring out, is it attainable, right? And are you going to now get to where you actually want to go with the specific skin type that you have? And then slowly working through all of them to figure out the next plan.
Okay. And as far as health hazards, you said, again, bleaching, would you have to worry about scarring or any sensitivity loss?
You know, nowadays, the newer lasers are really, really pretty superficial.
Okay.
And because it takes 2 to 3 to 4 sessions for these different lasers to really take true effect, you're actually able to see the progression and then figure out, hey, do I need to go a little bit more, a little bit less, where? So the roadmap is pretty tolerable. And you're able to now see the effects from the first session. But again, it's incremental as you're adding to that.
Okay, beautiful. And Dr. Evan Goldstein, where can people find you?
Yeah, so Instagram is great, Bespoke Surgical. Also on Medium, I do a lot of blogging specifically on topics like this. You check out Dr. Evan Goldstein on there. And our company, Future Method, which is all about products to support safer sex. Thank you so much for having me, as always.
All right. Coming up next, we got question of the night. Still time to weigh in on that. Tonight's question is, what's your opinion on personal grooming? We're going to break that on down. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Curious how many of you after that conversation are Googling anal bleaching. Everyone's rushing out. It's an interesting thing. It really, really, really is. Anyway. Question of the night. What is your opinion, your personal opinion, on grooming down there?
Question of the night.
yes, the audio. I forgot. So your personal opinions on grooming down there. First response, necessary. There was actually a really funny meme I saw. It went around where it was like some guy, let's say his name is Tom, and it was like, I like my lady. I like them shaved or something like that. And they're like, then shave it all, Tom. You know what I'm talking about? opinion of personal grooming down there. Someone said, whatever you do, own it and I'll love it. Ah, I like that. I actually tend to agree with that. And I know it's a little bit of a cliche where people are like, oh, the most attractive thing is confidence. But I actually do agree. Whatever you come at me with, as long as you're owning it and coming confidently, I'm like, all right, you know?
Yeah. Yes, queen.
That's right. Someone said, your choice. Personally, prefer all shaved. Hate getting hair in my mouth when going down. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence. Sometimes I don't mind. I mean, maybe, I don't know, whatever, it's Loveline, we'll go there. I'm used to the podcast where I just say whatever I want. But I'll say this, sometimes I like walking away and still having the person on me.
Me too.
Smelling my fingers, tasting them, all sorts of things. Yeah, I'm not mad at it, but you know, I'm a kinky fool. All right, personal opinions on grooming down there. To each their own. For me, I only shave to spice it up. She stay wild most days. Girl, I'm not mad at you. Look, I personally, let's get into it. Let me just say that a few more times so I get it out correctly. I'm not a big fan of body grooming for myself, right? I think because I just don't think about it. I don't care. I don't think about it. I don't tend to have sex with the kind of people that care. I don't really want to have sex with the kind of people that care. And I was dating someone once, and this was a couple years ago. And I wasn't in the most mature phase of my life. I'll just frame it like that. I was working through some things, working some things out, learning, growing. You know, it was a phase of development. And they said to me basically that. They're like, hey, you know, I like people that are a little, that are trimmed down there. Oh, I got enraged. I was like, you do not tell me what to do with my body. You are body shaming me. Oh, I couldn't handle it. I think a little differently now, right? Because I really do value transparency and authenticity. And I don't want people to shame anyone, make anyone feel bad. But I do think there's a space to share what might be arousing to you and give the other person an opportunity to see if that's arousing for them or not for them or what they want to do. You know, a conversation can be had. But I'll tell you, ooh, set me off. Thoughts on personal grooming down there? Someone else said, I would like to be waxed, but would never advise or police my partner's grooming. Yes, yeah, that's my preference. Someone who's not gonna police me, you know. Anyway, someone else said I'd love to try waxing because I feel like shaving's too complicated, but I'm scared. Ugh, crotch waxing. Oh my gosh, I can't. That it just sounds rough. Yeah, that whole area. Woof. God bless it though. Someone else said keep it maintained. If there's hair, it shouldn't be totally unruly or smelly. But again, like here, I'm going to be me. I don't mind a little smell. I'm all about all the senses. That's really what it comes down to. I like people that don't wear deodorant as well. I like smelling that. Y'all. Someone else said, opinion of personal grooming. Do what you want and not what others want. It's your hoo-ha. Thank you. I agree with that. Sure, hoo-ha. You do what you want to do, ah. Someone else said, shaved is nice. Doesn't have to be full-blown bald eagle by any means. Yeah, bald eagle freaks me out. It really does. It just freaks me out. I just need some secondary sex characteristics there. Like, I need a little bit of hair, and I don't know. I eroticize that stuff, though. It's one of those shows.
Yeah, Queen.
Thank you. Someone else said, whatever floats your boat, though, let's normalize full-on fur. I'm not mad at it. For some people that are really hairy, I can see where it can be really daunting, overwhelming, or exhausting to really try to feel like that to maintain that. But know that there are people that eroticize that stuff on men and women, right? And everyone in between. Someone else said, to each their own, but I will gladly take requests. That's cool. I like that you're open to that, right? That you're willing to give a partner whatever's most arousing to them and you don't really have a strong opinion on it. I do. I really, really do. It's an interesting thing. I'm going to keep an eye on it and try to unpack it further. Someone else said, do whatever you feel comfortable with. I'm with you. Someone said, body hair is a turn on for me. Me too. It is. Me too. Someone said, always keep it trimmed. Someone else said, try out a landing strip. I don't know. That freaks me out. It's distracting because it's a little specific. Like, it's like a work of art. It's, you know what I mean? It's kind of like a crop circle. Like, I'm going to be in the airplane looking down, like looking at it, seeing if it's even. Like, it's just distracting. Trim doesn't distract me. But like shapes do. I guess I see it as a shape. You know what I mean? It's a crotch crop circle. Come on, keep it real, y'all.
Yeah, queen.
Someone else said their opinion on personal grooming. I'm conditioned by society to think less female hair is sexier, but I'm trying to change this. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Someone else said, I keep my area how I like it. I wouldn't ask my partner to make adjustments for me because I want them to feel at their best, and that means the most comfortable. I'm down with that. Someone else said, I've never removed any of my pubic hair, and I don't even know it was common until I saw porn. There it is, the porn factor. All right, that's all we have time for, but thank you all that participate in that. So many more thoughts. Read those off air. Coming up next, DMs. Listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we got a 1-year anniversary coming up. Channel Q's 1-year anniversary. Man, can't believe we've been doing it for a full year now. Love Line back, full year. Also, coming out day, they coincide. So we are going to fly you and a friend to the home of Channel Q, LA, for a weekend getaway. This is pretty badass, though. We're going to take you out in West Hollywood for happy hour at the world-famous Abbey. We're going to put you both up in an amazing hotel and give you 2 tickets to LA's biggest event of the year, the We Can Survive concert at the iconic Hollywood Bowl. And that concert's got Taylor Swift, Lizzo, the Jonas Brothers, Camila Cabello, something like that. Cabello. Got it. Not familiar with her. Sorry. And more. Celebrate Channel Q's coming out, national coming out day in LA. Go to wearechannelq.com to enter and win. Bam. That's a good one. If nothing else, just for the concert. Just come get some cocktails with us at the Abbey. We fly you out, put you up. Come on.
Billie Eilish
is there. Who else?
Lizzo.
Yeah, we got that.
Camila Cabello.
There's so many people.
Taylor Swift.
Yep. Delaney. Got that one.
So many great ones.
Yeah. It's shocking how many people they're packing into one concert. That's mind-boggling. That's quite a night. All right. Time to slide in the DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sex world. We want you to explore with confidence. Hey, Dr. D, my girlfriend keeps mentioning to me that she wants to get married, but I'm not getting the commitment I need from her. She constantly works both during the week and weekends. Woof. And whenever she has free time, she always prioritizes hanging out with her family and friends. She also refuses to ask for time off from work or to look for a higher paying job without hours. It's been almost two weeks, excuse me. Well, that would, this has been a long time. It's almost been 2 weeks since I've seen her, and we live less than 15 minutes away. Wow. Is it selfish of me to ask for more of her time before we take it to the next step? Woof. I mean, it's not about selfish. It's just about what you need, what you're interested in, levels of compatibility. Look, I'll take it from me. I'm someone who likes a lot of closeness, a lot of connection, a lot of intimacy. I couldn't go 2 weeks without seeing someone. That's really hard. No, you can ask for more time. Look, you're definitely getting, you're possibly still getting the commitment. You just want more prioritization. I love that, you know, your partner prioritizes friends and family, but... You know, again, there's no right or wrong here. It's just this person doesn't require as much closeness as you do. And so for her, she can go 2 weeks without seeing you, all's well, you can't. So that's an incompatibility. So don't shame her, but you can say, hey, I'd love to see you more. And then you get to see if that's something she can or is willing to do. And if not, you know what it's like to be in this relationship. And you have to decide if that's what you want, if you want more of that, because get married, but that doesn't promise anything's going to change. Again, you're seeing how much closeness this person wants. And it sounds like it's not a match in that level unless you can handle down that much distance. You know, it's a tough one, though. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore the confidence. All right, y'all, that's our show. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern. And as always, our show is podcasted over at wearechannelq.com. Thanks for hanging out with me, y'all. Have a good night.